Each year, WDIY offers the Youth Media Program free of charge to high school students in the Lehigh Valley to learn about the many aspects of broadcast media and radio production. The students of WDIY's 2019 Youth Media Program each produced a final on-air feature on a topic of their choosing. This next piece is by Anna Isbell from Freedom High School.
I personally have celiac disease. My journey was a tough one. After every time I ate, I would get such bad stomach aches to the point where I was curled up into a ball. I almost thought it was normal because it happened after every time I ate. By the summer before third grade, my mom took me to a doctor and she had done blood tests that came out positive for celiac disease. Ever since, I've been eating gluten-free and have had no more symptoms of celiac disease. I'm Anna Isbell from the WDIY Youth Media Program. I am one of the luckier ones for being able to find out I had celiac disease earlier in life than most people. However, many others are not as fortunate, which is why you should get yourself checked. Even if you think you don't have symptoms, you still could have celiac disease. I wanted to find out more about celiac disease, so I went to an expert. I interviewed Dasha Ogulnik, a social media influencer and gut health researcher. Here's how the interview went. So what is celiac disease?
So celiac disease is an autoimmune disorder typically affecting about 1% of the population. It occurs in genetically predisposed individuals who develop an immune reaction to gluten. That basically means that when someone with celiac disease consumes gluten, it triggers the body to damage these finger-like little projections in the intestines, which we call villi. And these villi promote nutrient absorption. So as you can imagine, when these villi are damaged, nutrients can't really be absorbed that well. Toxins are more able to pass through the intestinal membrane. And as a result, we see both intestinal and extraintestinal symptoms.
How does gut health affect the rest of your health?
So there's a lot of complex interactions being studied right now between genes and diet and microbiome. I mean, everything from sleep, stress, whether you were born from a C-section or breastfed growing up. There's so much more really currently that influences or previously shaped your gut microbiome. Right now, we really don't know the full extent of how much and exactly by what mechanisms the gut influences our health, but we're starting to put together a pretty good picture. Right now, dysbiosis, which is an unbalanced gut, is associated with numerous diseases like diabetes, obesity, autism, autoimmune disorders like celiac disease. But there's other conditions as well, like cancer and so many more. A lot of things can initially cause this dysbiosis in the first place, so we're not really sure what came first. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg story. Basically, dysbiosis can be caused by a numerous amount of different factors, including food allergies or medications, including NSAIDs, antibiotics, birth control, things like alcoholism, chemotherapy, radiation, exposure to toxins. Just a general lack of fiber in the diet will cause this. Again, as I mentioned, the C-section at birth, lack of exercise, smoking, an unbalanced diet, genetic hygiene, lack of sleep. Like, there's so many different factors that can really influence an unhealthy gut. So when people often say, like, what is the exact reason that I had an unhealthy gut? It's really hard to tell, right? Because it's a bunch of different lifestyle factors that happened either now or in the past that your body has resulted in, almost.
So it's basically the environment that you're in that factors these things.
Right. It's your environment growing up. Even your mom, how your mom ate while you were in her stomach influenced your gut microbiome development. And we've seen even, again, the C-section versus a normal birth. That also really shapes the microbiome. It really goes on, you know?
Yeah. So with all these factors, what's the best way to improve your gut health quickly?
So I would say the best way is brain power, right? So that's the what, when, where, how of eating. We want to first begin by chewing our food thoroughly to aid in digestion, and also practice mindful habits to prevent us from under or overeating, which will expand or contract the stomach. In terms of what to eat, I suggest just sticking to a whole foods-based diet with minimally processed, plant-centric, The prebiotic fibers in fruits and vegetables, those are what are going to encourage the good bacterial growth and encourage the production of something called short-chain fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
And short-chain fatty acids, such as butyrate, are key mediators of these beneficial effects provided by the gut microbiome that we see. So short-chain fatty acids can also directly modulate the host health through different tissue-specific mechanisms related to, like, gut barrier functions, such as, like, glucose homeostasis or immunomodulation, appetite regulation, obesity. So it's really important for these to be produced in the body, and the way that we can get that is from whole foods, fruits and vegetables, the plant-centric diet.
So what is the best way to determine if you have celiac disease or not?
So the typical starting point for celiac diagnosis is blood work for the celiac-related IgG or IgA biomarkers. From there, your doctor should really confirm your diagnosis with an upper endoscopy. The blood work panels differ in sensitivity and specificity, but it basically allows your practitioners to gauge loosely if it's worth pursuing the endoscopy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You could also get human leukocyte antigen genotyping done, but it's not as common to have done as these other two things, because right now just the technology isn't there and the cost. We just haven't reached that point yet.
In your opinion, do you think celiac disease is becoming more common today?
So it is becoming more common, but we can't say whether it's because we all have unhealthier guts and we're eating too much gluten. And I think a lot of people kind of think that. What scientists believe is that the real reason it's becoming popular today is more likely just due to the increasing awareness of the condition itself and these better diagnostic strategies. So 20 years ago, celiac disease wasn't that common, but we also didn't know what it was. How can you diagnose someone with it if it doesn't exist yet?
Yeah.
Right now, it is becoming more popular, but that's just likely due to the awareness and the diagnostic strategies.
If you want any more information about Dasha and her information about gut health and celiac disease, you can visit her Instagram page. Her handle is Dasha Fitness. Or you can email her at fitwithdasha@gmail.com. Celiac disease is relevant today more than ever, especially with over 200,000 recorded cases in the United States alone each year. Many symptoms include bloating, pain in the abdomen or joints, gas, fatigue, osteoporosis, low blood count, along with symptoms that could be even more intense. Some people do not experience any symptoms at all, which is why you should get yourself and your loved ones tested. Long-term effects of untreated celiac disease include type 1 diabetes, infertility, epilepsy, migraines, and many more intense symptoms. These are many reasons why you should get yourself tested early and skip the hassle so you and your family can be healthy overall.
This is WDIY.